This is Kim Parker of Northern Apostle Radio. I was privileged to work with Bishop John Derfler on Wednesday, July 29th, as he addressed the topic of bringing people you love back to the church. The one-hour broadcast featured host Al Augustine and myself as co-host. The discussion started with observations on the effect of the coronavirus pandemic, and we hear Al talking about the effect of the virus on him as well as the church.
You know, it's interesting because folks like myself that find ourselves in positions of essential services, as they call it, and of course, certainly your position is most importantly essential to all of us. I found also that my workload actually increased. It was shaped a different way in that I had to spend more time helping people remotely, but boy, things were very busy. So, well,
I retired now.
You,
yeah. That's what I did.
Good timing, Kim.
Yeah, perfect.
We are taking calls, so any questions folks might have.
So we got the topic?
662. Oh, yes. Bishop John, you want to talk about the topic today that, of course, that we'd like to focus on?
Yes, Al. We talked about a wonderful topic that's opportune in the midst of a pandemic, how to bring family members back to the church. A pandemic is a time for us to really ask the great questions. And I think God is working in this time to stir in people's hearts, to draw them back to himself. So that's what we're focusing on today.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say that, you know, for myself being Catholic and my family, a family of six that regularly normally attends Mass, it had been especially hard, of course, when we couldn't do that. And we have not, even though our parish is back to meeting, it has been hard to get back in the groove. And that's one of the challenges I think all of us Catholics face. Is a lot of us, now that we can get back to most of the parishes, although with some precautions and some rules, the bottom line is that it's tough to get back when we've been that much away. I know we're, with my kids working and everything else, and my spouse working on Sundays, it's been tough. And that's something we need to encourage everyone to do. But specifically, there are folks out there, and we all know somebody. All of us that try to be practicing Catholics know somebody in our family or friends that may have been a practicing Catholic and now find that they're not going anymore for whatever reason. So how do we bring them back to the church? Well, one question we did have written in, I'd like to ask you, Bishop John. This one says, a 31-year-old young man who is single, raised in a Catholic homeschooling family, just doesn't attend Mass anymore. Is it hostile to God, the question is, or to the faith? Is it not hostile to God or the faith by them not going to Mass? Any suggestions how we can bring them back, Bishop John?
Thanks for that question, Al. And I'd like to recommend a book for people, and this book goes into a lot greater detail and a lot more helpful hints than we can possibly cover in our hour together here. And that the book is entitled Return, How to Draw Your Child Back to the Church. So the book is entitled Return, How to Draw Your Child Back to the Church, and the author is Brandon Vogt, V-O-G-T. It's really an excellent book, and I think the principles in the book also could be applied to other family members or other friends or other people close to us, as well. And so what I'd like to do is talk about a couple general principles in answer to that question. And I think as we go through the hour, there'll be a number of other suggestions that will come up. At the bottom line, it's important for us to remember that only, God can really draw someone back. It's not something we can do by our own power. only God's grace, only the Holy Spirit can work in people's hearts and draw them back to Him. So I think it's important for us to keep that in perspective. So the most important thing we can do is pray for the person, offer sacrifices, you know, do penance for the person's conversion and return to the faith. These are the most important things we can do. Secondly, I advise people don't nag. You know, sometimes we might really want to push someone back and we might push too hard and we might end up pushing them right out the door because we end up pushing too hard. And you know what happens if we're in those kinds of conversations and if you start nagging someone, you know how the defenses and the walls go right up? Well, that doesn't work. Nagging really doesn't work. So pray, you know, and don't nag. You know, you can't force someone to believe. And so those would be the first two things I would encourage people to do. The third is it's important to have a relationship of trust with the person. Because if the person doesn't trust you, you're not going to be in a situation where you're ever going to have an open and honest conversation. So those are some bottom lines, you know, pray, don't nag, establish trust. And one of the ways we establish trust is we bend over backwards to show the other person that we really care for them. So those are some initial thoughts, Al.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's number three is a key one, having that trust. And of course, you mentioned don't nag. Obviously, some people, you know, stubborn like myself, the more I'm pushed sometimes, the slower I move. My kids have found that out the hard way. So I think that that's important is that we make sure they feel welcome and that we want, we know they're believers. We know they were there. And of course, we know there's something missing in our lives too, and we don't attend Mass. And I think that, again, it's really easy to fall into a rut right now. So, to Bishop John's point, don't nag, you know, maintain that trust and be inviting, I guess is really the key things there. Kim, you had a question for Bishop John.
Well, we're looking for calls, right? So
yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Just remind people about the phone number, 906-662-9005. We'd love to hear from you. But my question for the bishop is, you know, it seems like there's a mass exodus going on these days from church. People are not attending as much as they used to. People are leaving the church. That's why we're talking about bringing people back. But my question is, why are people leaving the church? What is it that's driving people away, so to speak?
Kim, that's really a great question. And I think the story is a little bit different, for everyone. And let me just talk about, some common denominators that are out there, a number of different things that we're seeing. For some people, it's not that they just make a deliberate decision to drift away. They just get busy with other things, and other things, become more important, and they just gradually drift away. Other factors, for some people is, and this is a pretty big issue today, is that religion and faith in general is portrayed as being, kind of irrational. And that faith is contrary to reason and faith is contrary to science. And that's another topic that we should maybe do a show on sometime. But faith in reason and faith in science are compatible. They really go together. But that's an impression a lot of people have. They don't find the arguments or the rationale or the explanation for why we believe to be convincing, and so they just don't bother. let's face it, the church has had some horrible scandals in our recent history. We're in one of the, we're among the worst times of our history in just some horrible scandals. That has driven people away. So another factor is our culture is becoming more and more secular, more and more anti-religious, and religion is just seen to be irrelevant. So those are some factors that are involved. But it's probably a unique story for each and every person, you know, why they're making a decision to abandon the practice of their faith. But those are some reasons.
Mm-hmm. You know, this if I may add to Kim's question, Bishop, Father Mitch Paca was actually on earlier today on EWTN. I was listening to the station, and you know, people called in and asked about some of the things in our history, and of course the popular one right now is slavery. And they talked about in Georgetown, the Georgetown University and the farm being supported back in the 1800s by slavery. And certainly no church is without scandal or issues. I tend to, when I talk to people bringing those things up, I mention the fact that nobody is without wrong and mistakes. We've all made mistakes. It does not change, however, what our faith and our word and our beliefs are. Those are good. Those are solid. And that doesn't change anything. Yes, we have made mistakes. There's no doubt about it. And Father Mitch, I thought, did a great job addressing that. But do you feel, Bishop John, that this approach of secular humanism, i.e., I'm a good person, I do good things, I donate, I care, I treat people just like a Christian, and they say, I don't need to go to church. Maybe you could touch on, Bishop John, what is missing by not going to church, by not attending Mass, by not receiving a Holy Communion. Could you maybe touch on that a little bit for those that would say, well, I'm a good person, but I don't need to go to church, don't need to go to Mass?
Okay, thank you for that question, Al. You can say something that about how Jesus really helps you in difficult times. And, you know, you're not you're forcing anything down their throat by doing this. You're just sharing why Jesus is important to you. And it just kind of plants a seed of faith in the other person. And you never know when they might start actually, you know, thinking about it. You know, so that's that's really quite important, you know, to be able to draw our people back to the Lord.
You know, I think you really keyed on it, Bishop John, is that be a witness. The number, once again, if you have a question for Bishop John Derfler, is 662-9005. 906 area code. Local call in the Marquette area. Local call, 662-9005. 662-9005 is the number if you have a call for Bishop John today. And we apologize for the little bit of background there. But again, to encapsulate what Bishop John said, being a witness to your faith, that you lead by example. You're leading by example, and as Bishop John said, planting the seed in them that they can wish to seek out and discover what Jesus means to them by attending Mass and receiving, of course, the Holy Communion. For those of us that are Catholic, it's pivotal in truly receiving Jesus. And that's the best we can do, I think, really, in trying to bring those back into the church in that situation. Certainly, we have all had family members. I come from a large Catholic family, and some are very active and involved, and some haven't gone in years. And I often don't know how to at times to embrace them and bring them in. That's a key thing we need to focus on. And again, not nagging, being patient, sharing that faith, sharing what it means to you and the feeling inside your heart that you have, you know, to be a friend with Jesus, what is really important. Okay, we're taking a call right now. We'll see if they want to go live here or if our call screener Brian's going to have to hand it over here. Hold on one second. Again, you are listening to a special program on WNOA, Northern Apostle Radio. We are speaking live with Bishop John Durfler, and the number again is 662-9005, 662-9005, local call in the Marquette area, if you so desire. And I'm going to go ahead and take this call. All righty. Okay, the caller is Josephine. Josephine, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Josephine, you have a question for Bishop John. Please go ahead.
Yes, my question for Bishop John is, here's an idea. Why don't we have some head smackers? And what I'm talking about is that, you know, when the churches first closed, my first thought was, wow, this is a mystical disaster. But then I thought, well, maybe Jesus himself closed the churches because of all the sacrilegious communions and the desecrations of the host. Because even in my own parish here in the diocese, we found like three different times hosts in the pews and things like that. We caught somebody putting the host in his pocket and walking off. I have a friend in Florida who says they find hosts in the parking lot on the ground. And so, and of course, all the people, you know, who are in mortal sin and are still going to communion because they're either stubborn or they don't know any better. But so the head smacker story is that I read of this Italian lady, in Italy, this Italian church, and this lady was watching people go to communion, and she saw this guy walking off with the host, and nobody appointed this lady. She was just watching on her own. And she went up to him, and she smacked him, and she yelled, "Put that in your mouth," which I thought was really funny because it's very Italian. But I'm like, why don't we, you know, it's the holy, holy, holy. Why don't we at least institute something to prevent these kind of abuses? I mean, something. We could brainstorm something.
Well, Bishop John, what
okay,
say
thank you?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Josephine, for that question. And here's, I think, a good way of approaching it. And I know this is something I myself, when I'm distributing communion, I just am looking in the corner of my eye to make sure people are, in fact, receiving the Blessed Sacrament. And because I'm aware that there are circumstances where people will take a host and not receive it and desecrate it. So this is just something, you know, we keep our eyes open to. It's something when I was a pastor that I just kind of asked my ushers in the church to keep their eyes open to. We took a little bit more pleasant approach to it than perhaps head smacking. you know, if we saw someone who was not receiving, we would just kindly ask them, you know, to, you know, receive our Lord, you know, in Holy Communion. So it is something we have to watch out for. Regretfully. I think it's impossible for us to completely prevent it, you know, but it is something, I think it is something we, you know, should be keeping a watch out for in our churches. But, another thing, I don't think our Lord, you know, to say that our Lord closed the churches because of desecration, I don't think that is what was in our Lord's mind and our Lord's heart. You know, first of all, you know, God never wills evil. He never causes evil. But sometimes, like something like a pandemic, he would allow to happen so that he can bring a greater good out of it. And if we look kind of at the history of the people of God, there are times when the Lord has allowed things like this to happen to draw us back to Him. And so this is a time of conversion. I mean, that's what's going on right now. This is a time of conversion. It's time for us to turn to the Lord. And that goes for me and for everybody, because we all need to deepen our faith and our hope and our trust. And this is a time for us to do it. And so let's not waste this golden opportunity. And let's use it to ourselves grow in faith and reach out to others and draw them back.
Amen. What do you, Josephine? Amen. Oh, does that answer your question, Josephine?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. And if you have another question, feel free to call us back. Thank you, Josephine. Okay. Again, the numbers, 662-9005, 662-9005, area code 906, local call in the Marquette area. Feel free to give us a call. You can speak directly to Bishop John Durfler, Bishop of the Diocese of Marquette, graciously giving us this special hour with us today live on the radio. Bishop John, I guess a question follow-up to that would be as well. I don't know the state. My history is not good enough. Maybe some of the august people in this room can give me
august.
Better. August, yes.
Yeah, august.
That means
so.
Very, no, well. But you got me on that one. But during the times of like the bubonic plague, the Black Plague, I'm sure, you know, you wonder what happened to faith, the Christian faith. Did it fall to the background? You know, there's been other trials and tribulations through history where our faith was challenged. I had had this perspective, and I'm sure if somebody has asked you this, Bishop John, so I'm going to bring it up again. But I felt, is this the devil's work? Is this separation of people and relationships and having to social distance and wear masks and not socialize, not be able to practice our faith, whatever church you belong to, is this the devil's work? I had to think that myself. How do you feel about that, Bishop John?
Physical distance and wearing face masks and these sorts of things are opportunities for us to show how much we care about people. Hmm. Now, that might seem counterintuitive, mm-hmm. but the virus is real. Okay, the virus is real. And if we love people and if we want to show our concern for them, we want to engage in good practices to help limit the spread of disease. And so that does mean, you know, some physical distance. And I like the word physical distance better than social distance, because mm-hmm. we don't want to cut relationships off, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so think of, you know, physical distance, washing your hands, wearing a face mask. All of these things are just ways where we can care for the common good and we can care for each other. And it's a sacrifice for us to make. So where I think the evil one may be getting in is that there's all kinds of circumstances where we're really fighting with each other. Okay, so in the midst of these very trying times, it seems that there's been an explosion of how much we're fighting with each other. Mm. And division is cropping up. Mm. Okay, so you know, the evil one likes to sow seeds of division, and we really need to guard against that and go the extra mile to try to understand people and care for people and reach out in love and be welcoming. So that's really, I think, the you know, our response, mm-hmm. Al.
Okay.
You know, the virus is a virus, and we just need to take care of each other.
Well, I think one thing you brought up that is positive that occurred, at least in my family, is with all the school activities that are normally going on in athletics and the kids that work, because my children were, you know, that ended, of course, prematurely during the school year. We've never had so many family dinners together. I guess that's one point, you know, one thing to your point that is positive is that we were able to have more family dinners and talk about not just the whole pandemic, but the other issues surrounding it, the politics and those things that would divide us. So I think that's one positive thing that came out of it. From a family perspective, from a friend-to-friend perspective, it's been hard on somebody like me. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. Kim wants to talk something over. It's like, Kim, come on, let's go have coffee. That's what I want to do, sit down and have coffee and, you know, and something else. As we say in my family, Polish family, coffee and. It's coffee and. So that's very good. Kim, you have a follow-up, another question that came in. Go ahead.
First of all, give the phone number, Al. Who was that last call? What was her name?
Josephine.
Thank you so much, Josephine. But the number is 906-662-9005. And Josephine, you can call back if you want.
Yep, she's another question. She's more than welcome.
Here's my question, though. What you know, getting back to the idea of bringing people back to the church, what can the church do to attract more people? What do you think, Bishop?
Excellent question. And first of all, Jesus is ever attractive, and the gospel message is ever attractive, and it's the proclamation of Jesus and people encountering him. What might be sort of, unique in our times, might be, some of our, some of the methods we use. And let me just look at a couple things. Here at the cathedral, we have a beautiful church. We're really blessed with that. And throughout the diocese, there are so many beautiful churches. Beauty attracts. Beauty attracts. And there's just something about making the most we can out of the arts and out of beauty that can speak. Because here we're not talking about matters of debate or other things that are controversial. But have you ever been someplace beautiful and your spirit just kind of soars a little bit? And so for us to use beauty and proclaim the gospel message in the context of beauty is something that attracts. Another venue is to use all the new forms of media that are available to us now. That's where people are, use it. Another very, I think, important manner in which we can engage people and draw people back is matters of social justice. That this has been an essential element of the church from the very beginning is to care for those in need and working for justice. And, we may have, some non-believers who also have a passion for justice. Well, we can engage them in that way and work together with others who are non-believers in trying to address serious issues of poverty, racism, other kinds of great difficult problems we're facing in our society, that we can work together. And they get to know us as Catholics and believers, and you never know how that can open up for conversations also to help bring people to faith. So it's important for us to be rolling up our sleeves and getting involved in the works of justice for the glory of God and for love of others. This is a very important area of outreach. So that is those are some general things. Another point that I would maybe mention. And this is just in, say, your own personal relationships, is to get interested in what your friend or your family member is interested in and learn a lot about it and find some ways to engage in conversation with them about it. That's another way of building common ground and making this relationship, in a certain sense, something that they feel real comfortable with you. That's a way of attracting. And then you never know where there might be some doors that open up for conversation. But those are a few general thoughts.
Well, that's an eloquent answer, Bishop John. I guess, however, the bishop didn't care for what I dropped in the suggestion box about having all priests start working the street corners. But
hey, I don't know about that.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Bishop John. We did have another caller and another question, and Josephine's graced us with another call. Go ahead, Josephine. You had a question, another question for Bishop John.
Hi, yes. Well, I called back again because you invited me back, and gosh, an opportunity to talk to the bishop himself. So what a blessing. So I am taking advantage. So I guess, Bishop John, a while back you had written about how, you know, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And then you were talking about troubled times and that, you know, God raises up the saints, raises up saints in troubled times. Who do you see, or do you see, and who are they, you know, the either among the bishops or clergy or lay people, who are the prophets of our times? Who are the heroes of these times? Who do you think, especially because like in the church, we seem to be divided between left and right. So who is there anybody that you're looking to that really seems to be speaking truth and shining God's light on the situation?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Josephine, for that great question. And I'd like to answer not by, you know, highlighting any, you know, one person in particular, but highlighting something very powerful that God is doing. And that's especially among young adults. I cannot tell you how impressed I am with the young adult Catholics. There are so many young adult Catholics who love the Lord Jesus, are very zealous about their faith, and also have a real zeal to share it with others. You know, God is doing something amazing in this generation. Unlike what he's done in your more recent generations of people who might be older. Now, I don't mean to completely write off like people of my age and so forth, but there's something really special right now about young adults and what God is doing. And I'd just like to highlight something, here in our diocese, there's a team of college students every summer that do mission work kind of in parishes. It's like a little Catholic catechism institute for children and for high school students, and they'll go from parish to parish for about a week at a time, and it's called Totus Tuus, totally yours, out of our total consecration really to Mary to lead us to Jesus. And this is an organization that was started elsewhere, some years ago, but it's been here in the diocese for a number of years. And this year, because of the pandemic, they've gone online with this, and they've been put together some great YouTube videos, for children and for young people, that have been engaging people in 11 different states and even internationally. Just coming right out of the Diocese of Marquette here, and three teams of college students. And I just highlight that as an example, you know, of how God is taking people and he's reaching in their hearts and he's raising them up to holiness. And I see a great example of this right in our young adult Catholics. And it's really pretty, impressive. And if anyone's interested in looking at some of those videos, you can just go to YouTube and search for Totus Tuus, which would be T-O-T-U-S, then T-U-U-S, Diocese of Marquette. And if you kind of search for that, you'll find that their own YouTube channel. And it'd be great to just see some encouragement of what God is doing among some wonderful young adults.
Speaking of young people, how about Catholic education, Bishop? How are we doing at bringing kids who are Catholic but are attending public school? How do we bring those kids that are Catholic to the Catholic education system in the UP, or even if they're not Catholic, right? Bringing everyone into Catholic education. What kind of effort is being made along those lines?
That's a great question. Let me just say right now, we're open for an enrollment. Yeah. Contact your local great Catholic school. We have the blessing of 8 Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Marquette, and they're just wonderful, wonderful schools. And so I would just encourage anyone who might be thinking about an outstanding education as well as an opportunity to grow in faith and come to know the Lord Jesus deeper to consider Catholic schools. Our approach to education is not just merely learning facts or merely meeting the standards. Of course we want to meet the standards, but our approach is to go beyond the standards to the formation of the person, to form the person in virtue and in upright conduct and in faith. And we have the opportunity to do this in Catholic school. Highly consider Catholic education for your children. And for any young people who might be listening, consider coming to a Catholic school.
There you go.
I'd also like to put in a plug for a Catholic high school. We are trying to get a Catholic high school started in the diocese, and we're in the midst of a fundraising project to do that. And I think the pandemic has kind of slowed that fundraising project down a little bit, but wouldn't it be great to have a Catholic high school in the Diocese of Marquette? So I would encourage you to contact Holy Name School in Escanaba. That's where we're looking to start the high school, and find out how you can get involved in making a Catholic high school possible here in the diocese.
Awesome. Josephine, thank you very much for the follow-up question. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bishop John, because that's something that's near and dear to my heart. Having been raised and growing up in the Marquette area, but living halfway between Marquette and Escanaba, and then having worked in Escanaba for almost 13 years, I got very intimate with several parishes there and a lot of good Catholics in the Escanaba area. And of course, attended Mass on an occasion there as well. And the people of Escanaba, I must say, are really behind that and would love to see it. I know it's a challenge. It's a great challenge to fund a high school. I can tell you that Holy Name K-8 is a fantastic program. One of my children, when I was still working in Escanaba, before I changed jobs, she got to attend there, and it was the most rewarding thing ever for her. And I think that's great. And talking to the Catholics in Escanaba, I know they are behind that. And it's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a challenge. Hopefully we can accomplish it. Hopefully we have enough youth that wish, you know, to participate. Quite honestly, the scholastic achievements of those students in, if I can brag a little, which
brag
you're not supposed to do,
go ahead,
is actually above other schools, public schools in the Catholic school system. It's a fact, and I think it's a great thing. So.
I knew someone that worked in a public school system here in Marquette, and you know the kids would come from the Catholic schools into the high school, and he said you could spot those kids a mile away. They were
more versed.
More versed. I guess that's a good way to put it.
So it's good to see, Bishop John, that you're behind it. It's good to hear. So,
Al, Catholic education is such an important apostolate to help form a new generation in the faith and in virtue. So it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have here in the diocese.
Fantastic. So youth as a key, youth as a channel, youth as a mechanism. It's great. I'm not dating anybody here, but I know that those of us in the room here were probably told, why are you going to church on Sunday? Because you have to. You're Catholic. You're going to church. And we went. there was a time, and poor Bishop John has heard this story before, but there was a time when, in high school, didn't want to go to church anymore. Being forced to go to church for all those years, and I don't want to go to church. I'm young. I'm independent. I'm a young adult. I don't have to go. Eh. Well, when I went to college, I felt the urge. I suddenly felt the urge to want to be back in part of a parish family and active in Mass and participate again. And that's a great thing. But the urge was there. I think Bishop John mentioned earlier that God must call you. And that's the great thing. Interestingly enough, I wanted to go to the family parishes and not even to the university, the more progressive churches. But I think it's something that the seed was planted and it grew. And that's what we need to do. We need to invite, make it warm, make everyone welcome to come back to the church, especially, again, those that may have fallen away. Other comments, Bishop John, on I know we've got about 10 minutes left here. Other comments on what we can do to actively bring people back to the church?
Thank you, Al. Just to follow up a little bit in the education theme is we never stop learning. You know, I'm always learning more about our faith. There's always more to learn. And the more we learn about our faith, the more we're able to explain it and talk about it. And so I would just encourage everyone to really get invested in spending some time in learning more about what we believe, learning more about Jesus. And, to be involved in bringing people back to the Lord, well, we don't have to know the answer to all the questions because no one knows the answer to everything. But the more we know, the easier it is to kind of explain things. And if we don't, know the answer to a question that someone might pose to it, well, then we can go find it out. And that's an opportunity for us to learn more about our own faith. But I'd like to kind of focus on some situations that we might get into where, say, a friend or a family member makes, a derogatory comment about the Catholic Church or about faith or about religion in general. I know this happens sometimes when families get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or other holidays. Sometimes you might have a family member that slips out a zinger and really says something derogatory. And it can be kind of hurtful for us to hear those comments. And here's some ways to respond that might sort of de-escalate that and engage in conversation and ultimately open some doors that could lead to, a fruitful conversation. When we get comments like that, our kind of built-in tendency is to start arguing back. And if you've ever been in a situation, when you do that, the energy just kind of escalates. And sometimes it helps, instead of, arguing, to ask a question. And maybe just say, I'd like to be able to understand you better. Can you share with me sort of what brought you to this conclusion? So that's asking a question. Now the person might be willing to engage in answering that, or the person might just kind of, brush it off. But it's a way to just kind of, engage
them in dialogue.
And suggesting that as a response if we're ever in, kind of a contentious situation where someone says some derogatory comments, sometimes following up with a question instead of an argument can be more fruitful.
Very good. Kim, did you have a follow-up, or not a follow-up, another question that
was coming? Well, I was just wondering, you know, in this time of, actually, it's not so much now because we're going back to church, but what about people who are going to church but not going to church? In other words, they're listening to the radio, which I encourage, by the way. Also, they're online or they're reading the scriptures, but they're not actually coming into the building. Now, I know they're missing out on communion, which is, you know, an important thing. But and as a matter of fact, during the times when we couldn't go to church, there was like this disclaimer that was in the worship aid that you would read in case you can't receive communion. Is that still in effect, or is that not in effect anymore? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that's still in effect, Kim, because you know, we acknowledge that there are some people because of some serious health conditions and might be at greater risk that you know, they may feel more comfortable staying home right now, and that's okay. I granted a dispensation from the obligation to attend Mass on Sunday, and that dispensation is still in effect, knowing that we have people with some serious underlying health conditions. Mm-hmm. And so if you know, you're one of those people, know that, you know, we're praying with you, and we invite you to, you know, listen to the radio, watch the live stream of the Mass. Pray along with all your heart, and, you know, we look forward to that time when you know, we can all be together again. And make what I think Kim is referring to is a spiritual communion. So,
correct, yes.
When, if you're unable to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to say that prayer of spiritual communion, to desire to you know, be one with the Lord.
Okay. A follow-up to that, I guess, that it's important to a lot of us, the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, or confession. Is there a diocesan policy on that, or is that up to each parish how they handle that? Or how is that sacrament being handled, Bishop?
Thank you, Father Al, or thank you, Al, for that question.
I've been upgraded.
Father Al.
I speak with priests so much, I just about ordained you there, Al. So, the basic guidelines we have for confession for the parishes is to offer confessions in a place where there can be sufficient physical distance and ventilation, both to safeguard the priest who's hearing confessions as well as the penitents. And because each church is a little bit different in their physical makeup, you might find confession stations set up differently in each parish. But the bottom line is that it should be in a place where there can be sufficient physical distance and ventilation to protect, you know, both the penitent and the priest. Most of our confessionals throughout the diocese are really too small to provide those adequate, those adequate safeguards.
Okay. Thank you for that. Very important. I'm going to give one last opportunity here at 662-9005, the number you can call in the Marquette area or throughout, 906-662-9005. We can squeeze your call in if you'd like to call and have a question for Bishop John Durfler at this time, because we're getting near the end of our program. I do want to point out to you that this is a bit of a unique situation for us. Normally, we have Bishop John in the studio with us. We are able to, through the modern wonders and miracles of electronics and communication, we've got Bishop John over at St. Peter's here at the studio helping out and making this thing happen today. Of course, is my co-host, Mr. Kim Parker, our call screener, Brian Janowski, and Faye Presley, the old expert over here, helping us too off to the side, making sure we do things right. She's got a 12-inch ruler. Did you notice that?
She's really good.
So, and
call.
Go ahead and just answer them and put them right through there, Ryan. We'll get them on right away.
Northern Apostle Radio, your first name, please.
And we do want to thank everybody for helping out, as again, a unique situation that we're doing here. And we have also have the luxury of we're not quite the top of the hour, and we can go over. We have no problem with that.
We can do what we want.
We can do what we want. That's right, darn it.
That's right.
And we're excited about that. And, of course, any call from a member is important to us. And we'll get this through immediately. Okay, caller, you're on with Bishop John, and we have Paul on the line. Paul, you had a question. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I had a question for our bishop. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for being on the radio. Enjoyed your program, and I'm wondering when is the next time you're going to be on WNOA?
That's a great question. And I'd have to look at my calendar. I think I say I live and die by my calendar, sometimes mostly die. But I don't know that date off the top of my head. Al, do you know when the next one is?
We had a, you remember, Faye's over here going, racking her brain, because we typically, Paul, we typically try to have the bishop on every 3 months. So we're trying to do it quarterly is our intent. And I think hopefully in 3 months we'll be in an even better situation. So that would be the intent. So we're here at, of course, just about the beginning of August. So I imagine it's going to be late October, early November.
Something like that.
Okay. like that definitive answer.
We'll look forward to it.
Well, thank you for asking, Paul, and I hope you'll join us at that time. But about 3 months out, typically, about every quarter, we try to talk with Bishop John. I mean, it's a unique opportunity. I don't know how many dioceses have the opportunity to speak directly to their bishop for an hour, and we're really proud here at WNOA to be able to do that. So thanks for that, Paul. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Go ahead. We'll look forward to the next program.
All right. Thank you, Paul. God bless. All right. Well, that is probably going to wrap us up. If you have any closing comments, Bishop John, about what we can do to encourage and bring more into the church, or back to the church, I should say, as well as into the church. But more so, and particularly on this show, we try to focus on bringing those back to the church. And any closing comments, Bishop John? And if you'd be so kind as to lead us in prayer once you've made those comments. Thank you.
The basic advice is to pray, and pray some more. And let me close by offering you my blessing. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Bishop John Derfler, thank you so much for giving us this special time. And again, these extraordinary circumstances. You are a consummate radio professional. And the way you handled it, especially when we had the church service in the background. And Kim's, have your running shoes cooled down yet?
Yeah, Kim? No, I'm okay.
Thank you, Bishop John. Again, I want to thank Brian Janowski and Faye Presley and, of course, Kim Parker for helping out and making this thing happen. And we hope to see you folks again. Please give us your comments. You can call us at any time at 662-9005 or send us an email at northernapostle@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.